because he lives. Yesterday we were facing a new year, but because he lives, because we knew he was already there, already here, we were able to face it, knowing that not only is he here, but he's holding on to us. He's got his arms around us. He's watching over us. Something good about knowing that he, who is the God of the universe, knows who we are, where we are, what we need, our prayers. He's seen our tears. He knows all that we're going through. How wonderful it is to have a God like we have. I guess there is no God like our God. And it's good to know that he's ours. My Lord, my Lord. We read earlier from Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, the 43rd through the 45th verses. It says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dark places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into the house from whence I came, and when he is come, he findeth it, listen now, empty, swept, garnished. Empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I want to speak with you a little while this morning, resolving no space for Satan. A resolution. No space. No space for Satan. You know, as we read here about these evil spirits, we know that evil spirits do exist. They're referred to often as demons. They're not people. Those we talk about people and say that's a demon and that kid is no. We say that, but the spirit, the evil spirits, are the demons are spirits that are within us. Just like we have the Holy Spirit to keep us straight, Satan has those demons, those evil spirits, to have us to go in the directions he would have us to go. So there may be some people that we know who have demonic spirits, things that are in them that Satan has put there. And if we go through Galatians in the fifth chapter, we find a list of all those things. They call them the spirit of the flesh, those things. A lot of things that Satan will do. But we also find the gifts of the Spirit. Those things that the Spirit of God has given to us, that Jesus left for us so we could learn and become stronger in him. So there are demons, there are evil spirits, there are good spirits. The Spirit of the Lord is all over us when we come into this church. We can just feel his presence. So know that that's the case. And somehow, I guess, as we go into this new year, God put it on my heart to remind us that we have to realize that when we make a resolution, what we're really doing is we're saying that those things that are wrong in our lives, we're going to stop them. We're going to get rid of those things that don't fall in line with what Jesus would have us to do. And certainly there are things that are not just the spiritual things. There are other things we resolve. We talk about how we're going to eat and what we're not going to eat and what we're going to do and those sort of things. Somehow, I guess when we make a resolution, it's good to feel like we're going to get it done. And when you look at the things that we say we're going to do, all of them are good things. What we're going to do is stop the things that we know are wrong. We're going to not go where we ought not go. That's the resolution. We're going to leave some things alone that we ought to have left alone a long time ago. That's the resolution. We're not going to drink those things that we ought not drink or use the things that we used to use. We're not going to hang with the folks who carry us off in the wrong direction. That's our resolution. That's our resolution. But you know, there's a problem with our resolution. And Jesus is pointing it out here that there's a problem with that resolution. You see, when I empty myself of all those things that are wrong, somehow there's something I need to realize I've created that I got to take care of. I've created a void. I've created an emptiness that somehow needs to be filled. The fact that I'm not doing this means that now I've got some time. I should be doing something good. So rather than recognizing all the things that are bad about ourselves and getting rid of them, we need to recognize what it is we want to do when we empty that space. that time that we have. And here Jesus is talking about a man, and he cleansed himself of all the problems he had, all the situations. He knew what was wrong. I don't know if it was New Year's. Maybe it was. Maybe it was after a revival. I don't know just when it was. But somehow here's somebody who has cleansed himself and turned around from where he was and stopped doing the things that were wrong. And somehow it seems now he got a lot more time. Somehow it seems that he had a lot more time, but he hadn't planned for what he was going to do. And I've heard that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. And I think we know that. All Satan needs is just a little bit of space, just a little bit of time. So Jesus says he was put out. And after he was put out, the evil spirits were put out. And I don't know how many he had. This was just one of the evil spirits was put out. No place here. Kick Satan out. Did you remember to take the key, though? Because he's going to come back. You kicked him out. He's no longer residing in your heart, in that area. But somehow it seems that what Jesus is letting us know, when he's gone away, and Satan, you know, he's not satisfied with being gone away. Obviously he's not, but he starts thinking about this, and he looks back at you, calling it where he was. It was home. He was satisfied with you for a long time, and you were satisfied with that bad habit for a long time. He felt like he was at home when he was down in your heart. He felt like he was at home because somehow you came to treat him in such a way that you showed you liked that habit. You liked those things. Somehow now he's out of there. Satan is out of there, and he realizes that that's where he wants to be. Satan wants to be in your heart. Satan wants to be in your life. You resolve to not do those things that you recognize as being against the will of God. Those things that you know God would not have you to do. That's what you did. But somehow you made the resolution to stop this. But you haven't decided how you're going to fill that space, fill that time, fulfill the desires of God where you had been fulfilling the desires of Satan. It's important that you realize one of the most important things that you need to do when you make a resolution to stop something is to decide what it is that you're going to do now. You can't just say you're going to stop. You need to say, I'm going to stop, and here's what I'm going to do. That room that Satan thought was his room, that room that he stayed busy, and Mike called it, that was Satan's workshop, down inside your heart. Satan had a space in your heart, but you're putting him out. Now you need to decide what you're going to do with that space. In Matthew, it tells us three things that were done. He says it was cleaned and it was garnished. But that's in Luke, it says those two. And we read Matthew. Matthew says it was also empty. And that's the important part of this resolution, the decision that you need to make. You've made a decision to resolve this with this. You've made a resolution to change something in your life. Give up something. Stop something. Walk away from something. Leave something alone. Well, all of that needs to be matched up with what you're going to do, what you're going to fulfill that with. I believe you can fill your heart with some things that are special, and the Lord would have you to do this. When Satan comes back, he's going to find that there's no occupancy he signs up, because somehow it seems that it's all, or the fact that no Satan's allowed, maybe. Just do that plain about it. Satan's not going to be a part of my heart and my life. And we need to make that decision before we start giving up, or while we're giving up, the things that we know are wrong. We need to look at what we're going to do that would fulfill all that, or fill all of that space. Somehow we need to stay more in the Word. Mm-hmm. You know, we were at prayer services a couple of nights ago, and somehow, as I think back on that prayer service, it seemed that almost everybody who testified, because there was a lot of prayer. Normally, the prayer service is mostly prayer, maybe a song or two, but most of the time it's prayer. But it was testimony. And most of the testimony was about folks who had done something during the last week or so, or last few days, where they were letting people know about what the Lord had done and about how good the Lord is. There was somebody who said that the joy they have in their retirement and all the time that they have available is getting with people who are going through something and let them know God will help them through it. So that's the joy that they have. So the fact that the retirement, okay, a lot more time. What do you do with all that time? This isn't a resolution. This is just saying I've got some time. What am I going to do with this time? I'm going to do things that would please the Lord. I'm going to reach out to somebody who doesn't know how good he is. I'm going to tell somebody about what he's brought me through. I'm going to let people know that our God is God. I'm going to spend some time just using what God has given me and blessed me with to let somebody know that they have that same God, and he'll do the same thing for them. Fill up that space, that time that you now have, because you're not doing all those other things, and you're not going to hang with those folks you used to hang with. Well, how about this household of faith? Spend more time here in prayer service, in Bible study, and those sort. Fill up your time with things of the Lord. All the things that are wrong in our lives that we're giving up, let's make sure that we don't just leave an empty space for Satan to come back and fill it up, because Satan doesn't need much time. You know, he doesn't need much time, and he'll work on you. Some of the things that he'll do as he works on your mind, he'll make you think about the things that you shouldn't be even focusing on. You start focusing on what somebody else has got. When you think about it and pause a little while, why don't you just start thinking about it and spend your time not looking at what's going on in somebody's life, what's wrong with somebody else, and what somebody else is doing and ought not be doing. Certainly it's all right to recognize it because you want to know who's walking right and who's not. But don't think that you need to, focus on that. You know, in the 72nd Psalm, 73rd Psalm, I guess it is, the writer is talking about all the things that are wrong with folks. People doing all this stuff, and somehow they still seem to be getting along all right. But you know, as he said, I came into the sanctuary of the Lord. I got together with the congregation, a testimony service I think may have been. And he started looking at the fact that I know what they've got, but what I've got is so much more. When you start looking at how God has blessed you, you don't start looking at being jealous of somebody else. So they got that, and they got this, and they don't do this, and they're not working for what they got. God just seemed to bless them. No. Don't worry about their blessing. You have time. You can just count your own blessing and recognize it, your blessing. He said, when I looked at it, I realized I shouldn't be worried about that. I felt I was ashamed of myself. I felt like some kind of animal when I started thinking about the fact that I was focusing on what somebody else was getting and not realizing how blessed I am. He's my everlasting portion, the scripture tells it. I've got the Lord, and that's all I need. If we start looking at how God is blessing us and looking at and focusing more on ourselves and how we can become more of what God would have us to be, we'll focus less on those things that will pull us away from the Lord. Jealousy, hatred, distrust. All of those things are part of what Satan would have us to focus on while we're sitting in our quiet, empty room. We need to take time to fill that room with the joy that we know that Jesus Christ has died for us. Take some time and think about that every now and then. Meditate about the fact that somehow God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be there for us and to die for us and to provide for us a way of salvation. We got so much we can focus on. You know, somehow it seems if you don't have anything real to hold on to, you end up looking at, well, I don't know the whole story. You say, I don't know the whole story, but I know this. And I know that. So I just sort of figure that if I put that and that together, I don't have to add much to this to know the whole story. I can figure it out. And after I figure it out, I might just go tell somebody. That's a rumor that you're starting. It wasn't the truth, but somehow you looked at it and you figured it all out because you had too much time. And you're wasting your time. When you should have been focusing not on what somebody was doing and how you can put that story together and make it real, make it into a situation that everybody's going to want to hear about. Focus on what God is doing for you. As we look at our resolutions we've made, and I know we've made some resolutions, don't focus so much on what you've given up. Focus on what you're going to use that time for, that space in your heart for. We need to focus on the Word. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need to focus on those who we know who need our love and need our touch. There's so much that we can do in our lives. To just sit and say, I'm not doing that anymore. I've left that alone. What you're really saying is I have an empty space, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I have some extra time. I'm not sure just how I'm going to use it. I'm not going to go where I used to go. Where are you going to go? I'm not going to hang with who I used to hang.
That's right.
Who are you going to hang with? I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. What are you going to do for the Lord? A lot more time, a lot of empty space. Use that space for love. Use that space to build your relationship with God. Use that space. Satan, no space for you here. We've put Satan out. We do it over and over again. That's why we have so many revivals. We have a revival, we put Satan out. By the time we get back to the next revival, we find that that heart is filled up with those same problems that we asked God to forgive us for the last time. Not going to do it anymore. Well, it's only 3 months, and I've just started a little bit of that. No. Once a year, we get together, we make our resolutions. Some are making exactly the same resolution. If you wrote them down, you could take them, you could just run them up on your computer, because there it is. Same thing. I was going to do that. Well, I'm going to get it right this time. No. To get it right, what you really need to do is make sure that all of those things that you dump, all of those things that are of Satan, all of those things that you said you're going to leave alone, somehow you find space. Or use that space. Use that time. Use that energy for the Lord. I resolved that our resolution, not just say what we're not going to do, but strongly, strongly resolve in what we're going to do with that time, with that energy, with all room that we have in our heart. We need to fill it up with the Lord. Satan, no room here. Satan, we're dismantling your workshop. Satan, this is not your address anymore. Satan said, I will go back to my home. I'll go back. He just felt like he was at home. Satan, believe this. Believe this. Satan feels like he's at home in some of our hearts. He's comfortable, and you've allowed him to be comfortable. But you need to, when you put him out, you need to make sure that you don't leave space for him to come back. As I said before, it's good to put Satan out, but make sure you take the key. It's good to put Satan out, but make sure that you use that space, that time, that energy to do things for the Lord. That's what a resolution should be when it's complete. I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm no longer going to go there. I'm going to go where the Lord leads me. I'm not going to hang with the folks I used to hang with. I've got a household of faith, a congregation, a family that I want to be around as we grow stronger in the Lord together. Resolve to give up those bad habits. Resolve to give up those things that are wrong. Resolve to put those demons out of your life. But also resolve to make connections, stronger connections with the Lord and do more of his will. A resolution isn't complete unless you say what you're going to do when you stop doing what you have been doing. A resolution for Jesus. I know all of us can look now and say we've said some things we're going to change at the beginning of the year, some things we're no longer going to do. I ask that you look at those a little harder and decide what you're going to do with all that space, all that time, all that energy, because the Lord has some things for you to do. If you don't know what they are, that's part of what you can do in spending your time. Spend some time meditating with the Lord, and you'll find that he's got some things for you. He's given you some talents. He's given you some gifts. He's given you some things that he wants to use. Even those problems that you've had, the fact that he brought them through, that's a testimony that he's given you. There's so much that you have that the Lord can use. Resolve to use the tools, the gifts that God has given you to accomplish his will. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, we realize that as we come into this new year, we've decided that some of the things that we were doing were against your will. We realize, Father, that as we tried to run for you, we couldn't because we had a ball and a chain of hatred or distrust that we're trying to run along with. Father, let us know that we need to disconnect ourselves from all of that and not just disconnect, but not allow it to be a part of our lives again. Some of us, Father, have resolved over and over again to do the same thing, and we have not gotten there. Somehow we need to realize that empty space within us, we need to fill with you. We know that in Revelation, you said that you stand at the door and knock. Somehow you want us to open the door. I've been told that in paintings of you standing at the door, there's no knob on the outside. because you don't open the door, tear open the door, but rather you're waiting for us to totally open our hearts. Those lukewarm Christians realized they needed to fill that space that they had given up part of their heart for Satan. Now that he was not there, somehow they needed to make space and let Jesus fill their heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into this brand new year. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have the opportunity to change those things that were wrong, to walk in the ways you would have us to walk and live the way you would have us to live. But, Father, let us go beyond just resolving not to do the things that we know were wrong. Let us resolve to do the things that you would have us to do, to build the kingdom and to establish a better relationship with you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stand. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he has come out, he findeth it empty. He findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last of the state of that man is worse than the first. You know, there's somebody who's been saying for a while they're going to step away from all they know is different than God's will. They're going to step away from those things that they know God would not have them. They're going to pour them out. But somehow, they haven't yet done all that. They haven't said yes to the Lord. Because you know, when it comes to cleaning your house, you can't do it all by yourself. You need the Lord to help to sweep, the Lord to help to garnish. But you also need the Lord to fill that emptiness. So is there somebody here who has not yet given themselves over to the Lord, who has not yet said, yes, I've made Jesus Christ my choice? He's waiting for you to make that decision. He's waiting for you to decide that you want to be on his side. You want the world to know that you belong to him. Is there somebody who wants to resolve on this day to give up all their reasons for saying not yet and come to the Lord? My Lord. My Lord. Or maybe there's someone who already has given themselves totally over to the Lord. And they've come to recognize his blessings. But you are a part of another congregation, a congregation where you made a commitment to do so much for the Lord. You're not there, so you can't fulfill those commitments there. But if God has gifted you, you can use those gifts here at this church to help us to become more of what God would have us to be, to help us to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish here in Leesburg. Is there someone who wants to say yes? Say yes to the Lord, my Lord. For prayer. Thank you. I know. Amen. We recognize that you're a member, and we recognize that you've decided on this day that you want to come because you need like all of us do, prayer. So I'm going to ask that we not just pray for and with you, but pray with others also who are going through or who have some things they just want to thank the Lord for. I'm going to ask that somehow that your hands not be left unheld, but we're going to hold on to your hand and hold on to the hands of those who are around us. That person who's on the pew with you or across the aisle from you, don't just take their hand, but squeeze it gently and let them know that you're on their heart. Let them know that you don't know what they're going through, but you know a God who does know.
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't know what the problem is,
that's right,
but you know of a God who is able,
you're able, God,
to solve that problem, to change that situation, bring them through what they're going through. Just squeeze the hand a little bit. Not so tight that you're hurt, but tight enough so that they'll know that your prayer is real,
yes,
and to know that that you care about them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Some have come also because they just want to thank God for
thank you
all the beautiful things that he's done and
yes,
is doing.
Blessings over again, God.
Gently squeeze that hand.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Gently squeeze.
Thank you, Jesus.
That hand. Squeeze it with love.
Yes, God.
My Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Our Father.
Yes, God.
Our loving Father.
Yes, God.
Our dear God, we love you so much.
So much, Lord.
And we realize, we've come to realize, come to know, that not only do you know when we've cried, you know how many tears we cry. You know more about our situation than we could possibly put in words. Because you have seen and watched us as we've gone through all that we've gone through. But you also know, and we feel without a doubt, that you know our situation, you know what needs to be done, and you're going to make the changes that need to be made. So we thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for just having the love, that special love, that deep love, that unchanging love, that seasonal, not unseasonal, no season at all. A love that's from everlasting to everlasting,
yes,
just like you are. We thank you for all of that. And we ask now in the precious name of Jesus Christ that you touch each one who has a prayer on their heart and know that you're hearing even that silent prayer. That one is crying out to you, Father. Maybe their voice is not being heard, but somebody's crying out to you in silence even right now. Let them know that even the silent prayers are being heard, and those prayers are being answered even as we speak. Changes are being made right now. Father, I ask that you let us know that even though we may not see everything change when we want it and on our schedule or our timeline, that in your time, in your perfect time, changes will come. Father, some want to just thank you for all you've already done. Perhaps one of the main reasons we're here on this first day of the year is not to ask you for more, but to thank you for so much that you've already done. To thank you for the families you put around us. To thank you for the loved ones that we have here with us. To thank you for all that you do to continue to let us know that you do love us so much. So thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for the blessed assurance that not only have you not left us, but you will not leave us. And all that we need and all that we could possibly need, you will supply.
Thank you, Lord.
So thank you for your love again. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for each one, Father, who's with us here in this service, who had a special need. Somehow let them know that not only do you know their need, but you just love the joy that they're going to show and the love they're going to have, the testimony that they're going to have when you brought them through and brought them out.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the precious name, the loving, the powerful, the adorable, the healing name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.